Isn't it kind of neat how you can talk to people, get to know them, and you know the things that they really are passionate about? It didn't take me very long when I was talking with Sean Wallace to learn that he is a big Kentucky fan. And I still like him. He's a good guy. And I talked with Drew Walker, and it doesn't take too long to find that he's also a Kentucky fan. Or I could talk with Ben Murphy and find that he is a big Cardinals fan and is an Auburn fan, so he's really going to love the start of my message today. And I could talk with Butch Harper, and I know that he is a big IU fan, and I could talk with the Mickles, and I know that they're a big Purdue. There you go. That's right. PU for Purdue. Well, that's a new one. I haven't heard that one before. I like it. So any other schools that I've missed that you're passionate about? SIU, that's right, that's right. They're going to be getting a lot of your money as the kids are going to college. They're going to be passionate about you with that tuition money coming in. And if you've gotten to know me a little bit over the years that I've been here, which is I'm in my fifth year and still can't believe it, it's going by so fast, you will have learned that I am an Alabama fan. Now, good, bad, sciatic, crazy, I don't know, right? So I'm an Alabama fan. And so I thought, well, I won't get all this stuff out. But I started to grab this bag, which is, this somehow has got on here. But anyways, and I started to fill this thing up with, and I did actually, I got shirts in here, and I've got sweatshirts in here. I've got a couple of polos that I like to wear, and I've got a couple hats in here. And for Ben's sake, I won't get all of that out today. I don't want him to feel uncomfortable at all being an Auburn fan. By the way, Alabama and Auburn, it's like, Cardinals and the Cubs and IU and what, Purdue? Right, you know, it just kind of rubs. My family and I, was this last year, January? Huh? It was January of this year. We went to the University of Vanderbilt. So Vanderbilt's in the SEC conference, and we went to go see Alabama play basketball. It was on one of my bucket lists of things I wanted to do, and so I finally bit the bullet, you know, bought the tickets, and we went. Had a great time. And so that's me and Drew, and then Hope asked me to cut her out of that picture, so I did. And I put a different picture there over top of her. And, yep, there's Sean. He just walks in, and I get a thumbs down already when he's coming in the door. So that's all good. And so there we are, and I've got my T-shirt on. Hope's got the sweatshirt on. Drew has got, the Alabama hat on. He's back in Hope Kids today, I believe. But anyhow, yeah, so we've got all the gear on. Guess who's taking the picture? Oh, there you are. Sorry. Love you, buddy. Love you. We're starting out good today. It's good. It's positive. Can only go up from here, I think. So guess who's taking the picture? Mom. There she is, and she's anybody. And so we've all got our gear on, and we had just a fantastic time at the game. And so it was a proud pop moment. We're walking up to the stadium, you know, and I look over, and so we've got all our stuff on, and I'm like, I've been waiting years for this day to happen. I've either brainwashed them, or my enthusiasm has been contagious. I'm not sure what the reason is for that, or they humor me. It probably is that as much as anything. But I'll take it. Like, I'm good with that, right? It's so much fun, and it's just been amazing to see how much passion can influence somebody, you know? If you're at TikTok, and the people that have these great, the passion and social trends that take off, it's amazing how much passion will influence people. It can teach beliefs. It can grow a community. And think of the cults over the years that have grown, often because of what? One passionate person who teaches what they believe and recruits people to come and be a part of that. And people tend to be drawn to passion. There's something about that. It's kind of contagious, and we want to be around that. Don't ever underestimate the power of passion. Even a passionate spirituality. If you've got passion in your relationship with Jesus, I promise you, you're going to grow in your faith. Because when you have passion, you are 100%, I'm in it to win it, right? And you're there to go, and you're leaning into. And we're going to come full circle back to that this morning. When you grow healthier, what tends to happen is your church grows healthier. people around you tend to grow healthier. The more the individuals are growing spiritually healthy, the more the church itself. And you go, well, how can that work? Because you are the church. The church is you. And if we are all unhealthy spiritually, this church will be unhealthy spiritually. And if we are healthy spiritually, the church will be healthier spiritually speaking. This is the way that it tends to work. Let me jump into scripture. I was reading the Bible this week. I do that sometimes. And I happened to be reading the book of Joshua. And in the book of Joshua, I was the first... nine chapters is kind of where I was at over a couple of days worth of time. And so just give you a little backdrop, right? So where I was reading, Joshua has taken over leadership of the Israelites. Moses has died and Joshua has taken command. They are getting ready to go into Jericho, which is the first battle they're going to have in the promised land, the land of Canaan. And so they go through that battle. They end up winning that battle. And then now they're ready for their second one. And so the second one is in this town called Ai. Literally, the letter A and the letter I. Right? And so there they are. And they had already sent spies out to Jericho who came back and was like, yeah, okay, let's do it. And so they kind of did the same thing with Ai. And the spies come back and they go, hey, like, this is super simple. Like, we do not need to send all of our troops up there. Don't worry about it. Like, we got this. So Joshua's like, well, okay. So he sends the troops up, just a short amount of them up there. And guess what happens? Man, they meet them there and they run them off. And so the Israelites, they're like tail between their legs, you know, just running off. And they get back. And Joshua's like, what happened? And they're telling him, and Joshua starts to mourn. And he's just repenting before the Lord, him and the elders before the Ark of the Covenant, and there they are, and they're just mourning. And guess who speaks up? The Lord. You know, the Lord tells them, stand up, get up, get on your feet. It's like, what are you doing? I hate to be on the end of that address from the Lord. And the Lord ends up telling him, he says, look, you have rebellious sin in your camp, and I'm not going to bless you with victory until you address the rebellious sin in your camp. And he tells him how to do it, and he does it, and he finds out who the culprit is, and judgment is brought upon that family for their actions. And then right after that happens, then the Lord speaks to Joshua again, and he tells him, I want you now to go, and I want you to take your troops. And I'm going to bless you with victory. And I'm going to expand this territory that you are inheriting. So he goes, and guess who gets the win? The Israelites get the win. And after the victory, Joshua built an altar to the Lord. And he burnt offerings on the altar. And he copied the law of Moses onto some additional stones. They had already had it, right, with the Ark of the Covenant. But he copies it onto additional set. And I want to have us take a look at the, for me, what feels like the passion of Joshua at this moment, right? Because he could have just won and he could have just copied it and said, here you go, get on the straight and narrow. I'm like, I got other stuff to do. But watch the passion of this leader amongst his people. Joshua chapter 8, verses 34 through 35. I'll just read it on the screen with you. You can read it here if you want, or if you have your Bible, you can use that. It says this. It says, afterward, Joshua read all the words of the law, the blessings and the curses, just as it is written in the book of the law. Next one. There was not a word of all that Moses had commanded that Joshua did not read to the whole assembly of Israel, including the women and children and the foreigners who lived among them. I think that's passion. That's a passion for being right with God. It's a passion for being obedient to God. It's a passion for honoring God. It's a passion for the people that are around you, that their lives matter and their lives with God matter. Breathe, Andy. Even the foreigners, people who were not Jewish, people who were not in that covenant relationship, but were with them and around them, And even those people, they matter. That if you're with us, this is who we are. This is what we believe. This is what we do. This is what's important to us. This is who we are. And we're passionate about it. It matters. For me, I think that says a lot about being not just a leader, being a man of God or a person of God, but it gives us a picture of what passionate spirituality is. And I want to share that with you today. This is real fast because I don't think it's super difficult. I think it's pretty simple. If you look at his story, he is committed to God. You say, what's passionate spirituality? Well, it has to start with you being committed to God. There are things in the world you're committed to, but you've got to start with God. He's the first and most important thing. And then you're going to be faithful. Faithful to God. Faithful to those practices of prayer and of the word and Sunday morning attendance and serving others, giving. A faithfulness to your faith. Because if you're passionate about it, it matters to you. And I think there's enthusiasm. Now, it doesn't mean that you have to have a smile plastered on your face. And you're like, because after a while, people are just like, that's wearing me out, man. That's just too much. You got to dial that stuff back, yo. And I'm like, hey. But enthusiasm can also be this intense drive that I can't help it. Like this enthusiasm, this is the only way that I can live. It has to be this way. To be committed and faithful to God the way I live my life. And I just cannot do anything but that. That's enthusiasm in your spirit that may not come out as... That may be the way Drew acts. No, I'm just telling you. And you want to talk about your faith publicly. I don't mind talking about the University of Alabama. Sean has no problem with talking about the University of Kentucky. Same with Drew. John will talk to you about IU. And he can tell you history, right? Farmers that are passionate about farming, they will talk about farming with you. It's their life. It's their passion. They love it. Some days more than others, right, Derek? Maybe. But, you know, generally speaking, yeah. Do you love Jesus? You talk about things that you're passionate about. Joshua was passionate about God. He talked about God. He was passionate about the law. He talked about the law. He was passionate about the things that God wanted for his people. So he talked about those things. I remember a time, Joshua chapter 24, he's standing in front of people And the people have these different ideas, and he just sort of stops and says, time out. Joshua 24:15, I'm going to tell you right now, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Because I'm passionate about the things of God. You can be passionate about other things if you want, but I'm telling you, as for me and my household, this is where we will focus. And we will not be derailed, or we're not going to be distracted. We're going to keep the main thing the main thing. I like to talk about Jesus. If there's anybody with perfect passion, it's Jesus. Look, go and put that list back up on the screen, please. And use my manners, please. If you can go back up. Think about Jesus. Jesus committed to the Father. He said, I don't do my will, but my Father's will who is in heaven. He said, I'm committed to the Father. I love y'all, but I'm committed to the Father first. You may want one thing for me, Peter, to not be crucified, but I'm committed to my Father. So if my Father says this is the destiny he has for me, then this is what I have to do because I have to answer to the Father before I ever answer to you. Right. I'm committed to my Father. Passion. He was faithful to his faith. That's a tongue twister. I have to think about that one, right? Jesus would often get away in the mornings and do what, if you know the stories? Pray. Jesus would go to the temple. He would go to the synagogues and he would teach and he would worship and he would listen to the rabbis' teaching as well. He was faithful to his faith. And he had this intense drive, this intense belief that, listen, salvation is what's most important. And this is why I'm here, to preach repentance. And the kingdom of God is at hand. I want you to know that. And the only way to come into the kingdom of God is through me. So no one comes to the Father except through me, Jesus said. I bet he ringed with enthusiasm. And he had no problems verbalizing what he believed. He talked about the Father. He talked about the kingdom. He'd be around people that didn't even like what he said, and he'd still talk about it. People would try to trap him, and they'd try to get him to deny what he said. No, not going to do it. I know what I believe, and I'm telling you, I will serve the Father, and I will stand for truth. And even though you may not agree, I will stand for what I believe is true, not based on the opinions of my family, but based on the opinions of the Word of God, based on the truth. I'm not going to make you feel bad because you don't agree with what I believe. I'm not going to do that because that's not my goal. I'm not going to try to throw you under the bus or make you think you're stupid. And I know we don't use that word sometimes, right? But I'm just not going to apologize for what I believe the Word says. This is how I live my life. To be committed, faithful, and intensely driven for Jesus. If you seek me, you will find me. And if you love me with all your heart, he says, I will bless you forever. But if you will deny me, I will deny knowing you. And if you will walk away from my word, then you will be judged. And if you reject Jesus, you will spend forever apart from your Creator. Remember, what did Joshua read? He read the blessings and the curses. Both are important. It's not just passion that you would know all the good things, but it's passion and the whole counsel of truth. That there is a cost for saying, I don't believe. There is a cost for saying, God, I won't pay that price for you. There is a cost for saying, Lord, I don't want nothing to do with the church because all they do is let you down. I just need you. There's a cost when you make choices. Jesus was passionate. And so was the church. When Jesus launched the church and the Holy Spirit comes on, right, the disciples at Pentecost, and woo, it's party time, let's go, right? They're preaching the gospel and people are believing and they're doing miracles and they're spending time together and they're helping people in need and the community's seeing this. And right in Acts 2 says they're gaining the favor of all the people around them. And the Lord's adding daily to the church those who are being saved, and thousands of people are just coming. Just a flood of people are saying, yes, I believe. I'm going to follow, trust and follow Jesus. I'm going to walk in the ways in which the apostles are teaching. Yes, come on, I'm here. I'm in it to win it. That was passion. I believe people were influenced by the Spirit-filled passion of the church, and the family of God was growing as a product of that. This church knows something about passion. How many do we have here this morning that were here in the days in which New Hope was meeting in the community center or the school before we ever got to this building? If you were, raise your hand so we can just see. It's a number of you here today. You know something about passion. And for all who were, look at me for a second and listen. I want to tell you thank you. We would not be here today were it not for the passion that you had and your commitment to be obedient to what God wanted for his people. To be the hands and the feet of Jesus in this community. for you to be faithful to gather and to do the work of launching a new church, that is exhausting. That is a lot of work. And you were faithful to continue even when you were tired. And you had enthusiasm about it. And you talked about it. And you said, well, I don't know that I can really ever do that. Yeah, but listen. You know how many stories I've listened to of folks that were not here at the very beginning? But if I say, how did you come to New Hope? And we always do this in our Get to Know New Hope, right, class. It's our first class, Get to Know About the Church. I always ask them, how did you come to be here? And then here's somebody that's working with me that day will say, well, I ran into so-and-so who was part of New Hope when they were meeting at the school or the community center, and they were talking about what they were doing and talking about why they were doing that, talking about their faith, what they were doing for God. And it was so exciting, and we wanted to come be a part of that. And so we tried it out, and we found, yes, this, and they're still here today. I think y'all just loved them right in, and you didn't let them leave. Love does pretty amazing things, right? Talking about what you were intensely committed to and living faithfully, the calling that you think God, you believe God had on you guys to be the hands and feet of Jesus in the community and to gather and to praise Him and to seek His help and to pray. We're here because of you. So that's because of God. Yeah, it's because God worked through you, but you welcomed Him and you were passionate. I get to do what I'm doing here today because of your passion. Thank you. I think these are the best days of my ministry yet and what's coming down the road. And so I just want to say thank you. Well, even individuals can make a difference with their passion. Sometimes you think, what difference would it make if I'm just passionate about my faith out in the world? Nobody wants to listen to me. Can I tell you? I'm here today largely because one person that I'd worked with, their passion for Jesus and for the church, when their life got turned around, piqued my interest, and I said, wherever you experience that, I want to go see that. And so I went to that church, and that pastor took my family under his wing, and we got a family that surrounded us in that church. And it was in that church that I professed my call to pastoral ministry, to be a pastor, and got the opportunity to serve. I'll be the first one to tell you, passion can make a difference. You know what that passion of one person ended up doing in my family? It changed the trajectory of our family's future. Well, what does people care? If I'm passionate about Jesus, what does it matter? They're just going to think I'm, you know, loony or something, or think I'm closed-minded, or they're going to, you know, it's like, don't care what they think. Because your passion for Jesus can change somebody's whole future. And their kid's future. I will bless the generation through the generation through generation. It's not because of God's special anointing on my family. No, it's because of passion for Jesus and saying, yes, Lord, I will be committed. Yes, Lord, I will be faithful. Yes, Lord, I'm intensely committed to this. And yes, I love it. And yes, I will talk about it. I'll teach it and I'll preach it and I'll counsel it and I'll encourage it. And I'll sit bedside and I'll graveside and I'll marry, like, you know, I'll marry and marry, you know. and I'll have meals with folks and I'll serve in the community with folks. I'll talk about what I believe and what I love. Because that's what you do when you're passionate about something. Talk about it. So let me give you three little quick takeaways. Hopefully I've persuaded you to think that passionate spirituality is a good thing. And it does make the church healthier. It makes your homes healthier. And it makes us, it helps us to grow. And so put that first one up here, please. Oh, I love this. Seek him. You say, how do you, it's like, I want some of that passion. How do I have to have that passion in my life? Well, one of the things I tell you, seek the Lord. Matthew 22, seek the Lord with all your heart. Love him. Love the Lord. How do you seek him? Pray. Turn your heart towards him in faith. Listen to him. Read your Bible. I was talking with one of our Fusion students who started reading their Bible recently and started to discover that this is really cool. Like, there's so much this good stuff in here, and it's like, it's amazing, and like my prayers are getting better, and I'm actually learning, and it's like, this is really good. Like, there's joy in it. And I'm like, I know, it's really good, isn't it? I love it. But to see a student discover that, that's wonderful. I love it. It's exciting. How cool is that, right? There's power in seeking him, and that fuels passion. And then the second one, I like this one. Be transparent. Don't be afraid to be associated with Jesus. I love it. Is it Toby Mac? For those of you who are Toby Mac fans, was it song Jesus Freak? Was that one of his? Right? Okay. So, you know, it's like, hey, you can label me a Jesus freak if you want. I love Jesus, right? And I just won't be ashamed of it. That's just who I am and what I love. And I like these words out of Matthew 10. Sometimes you just got to cut to the chase, right? Talk about the whole counsel of God, if you're going to think about that. Here's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10. He said, realizing you've got a choice, you know what you can be passionate about. He said, anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it. And whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Where the rubber meets the road and you have the opportunity to be known as a follower of Jesus, what are you going to choose? Jesus said, your choice matters. Your passion matters. That's a second way to help feed that passion, right? Be transparent about what you believe. If you got to fight that battle in yourself, you got a long road ahead of you. It's a whole lot easier to say, Lord, I quit battling. I believe. I believe. And Lord, this is, I believe who you are, and this is who I am, and this is where I'm struggling. And I don't have the answers, Lord, but would you help me in my weakness? Because you're strong and I'm not. You have grace that I don't have, and I need that. Just be transparent with God, right? And I like this third one too. Man, we could do a whole teaching segment on this one. But take thoughts captive. Be careful what you think. Be careful what you feed into your mind. Be careful what you keep consuming, because it tends to what you consume a lot will impact what you become passionate about. I like to run. That's weird, I know. And so I read about running, and I watch videos on running and all that kind of stuff. And you know what that does? It fuels my passion for it. And I train and I run, and it fuels my passion for that. I watch, how many of you watch the games, right, for the teams that you like, or you do those certain things, and you wear the clothing, or you talk about it, you read stories about it, and it fuels your passion. What you think matters. And when you take your thoughts captive, one of the things it does is it helps you to manage your worries and your anxieties, because those work against you. Seek him, be transparent, take your thoughts captive. If you need inspiration for what passion looks like, open your Bible and read the Gospels. Maybe start with Mark. Maybe you start with the Gospel of Mark. Just begin to read. Watch and listen to Jesus in the Gospels. And when you get to the time when he goes to the cross, that's passion, passionate love. When Jesus is persecuted and he goes to the cross and he's crucified, what do we call that series of events? Does anybody, can you remember? What do we call that in the Christian church? The Passion. The Passion of Christ. But God demonstrated his love for us and his passion for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I want to tell you, you may not think anybody passionately loves you. You may question or wonder, but I'm going to tell you this. When you look at that cross, you never have to worry whether or not your Creator passionately loves you, because he did what he did because he loves you. Because he wants you to know his love. He wants your life to be transformed by his love. And when you're passionate leaning into Jesus, the Spirit of God will perfect you in his love over your life. It changes the trajectory of your future. God loves you. That's something we've said for years here. We want you to know that God loves you. He's passionately in love with you. And so my question to us today in light of all of this is simply, I guess, just this. Do you love Jesus then? Are you passionate about Jesus? When you look at your life, do you see a passion for Jesus? Seek him. Keep your life transparent before him. Take your thoughts captive to the things of God. And his Spirit will fuel that passion, and it will begin to grow and to grow and to grow. It's happened in my life. Maybe you just need to say yes to Jesus for the first time today. Because truly, when you lean into Jesus and say, yeah, I believe. Or I'm tired of fooling around. I'm coming home, Lord. I'm coming back to it. I'm ready to get serious. That's where passion begins. Yes. To pull from Sean Wallace's preaching a few weeks back. Leaning in. Lean in. That's what you got to do. Father, I thank you for the gift of passion that you've taught us, that we've learned from Scripture and history, that we've seen in our own lives, in this own church, and for so many testimonies of how people's lives have been turned around, and that you've just done great things to help people know how great you are by the passion of somebody else. And I know it can be used in wrong ways, so help us to use the things that we're passionate about for your glory. If you can use even this weak bad preacher and pastor, Lord, I'm sure you can use the rest of us in this room. Help us. Help us to let our passion shine so that others will know that you truly are a God who loves them. And they'll be drawn to you, find peace and hope, and a passionate relationship with Jesus. Amen.